It's OMF on EEI.
Hi, back here on OMF, 617-779-7937. The latest from Vegas, the odds from Bet Online. Patriots starting quarterback for week one. Thing changes on a regular basis. The number one candidate, odds on favorite at 3-1 is Marcus Mariota. He's the pick of the week, I guess. Number two, Cam Newton at 5-1.
Wow.
Jimmy Garoppolo 5-1. Ryan Fitzpatrick 5-1. Jarrett Stidham is at 6-1. Andy Dalton 7-1. Mac Jones, there you go, Lou. A draft pick 7-1. Trey Lance 9-1. And Derek Carr is 12-1.
So wait, that one's there's somebody missing on this list.
Your guy.
Why is he not on this list?
Jameis?
Yes. Derek Carr should not be on this list. You want to put Mariota on there?
Trubisky?
On there.
So my guess is that Jameis is not on there because they think that Drew Brees is actually going to retire and that they're going to sign Jameis Winston. I don't know. It's Vegas. What the hell?
I don't know.
What do they know in Vegas?
I don't believe him. What do they know? I don't believe him. Andy Dalton, I think, is done. I don't think he'll even be in the league.
No.
I don't think Cam Newton will even be in the league.
You said that yesterday.
That's what the line should be. Odds of Cam Newton actually being on an opening day roster. Okay, what are those odds?
I don't get the 5-1. So the second highest odds on the board is Cam Newton. I just don't see that other than he was here this past year. But if you watched him, I mean, how can Bill Belichick bring him back as your starting quarterback?
I really want to stop with this. I know we made a rule last week before last, and we weren't going to say his name anymore. He decides to do this I Am Athlete
childish.
Podcast.
Kind of,
no, it isn't childish,
it's
Glenn.
Childish.
It isn't. It's being an adult, okay? Because this, I'm telling you, I'll take bets on this. I will be the bookie.
Good.
I will take bets on this.
Good.
Lou, you're going to have to help me with odds because I don't understand them at all, okay? Because I think there's 0.0
chance. Lou, explain 3-1
to him. Yeah.
I'll see this.
Explain that. What does that mean? Does that mean I get 3-1?
I think that when you look at the three guys, Mariota, I think there's been a lot of buzz. Right? The minute they came out and said, we're not going to trade Carr, Mariota is the guy.
He makes some sense.
So, and then what happens? Around here, locally, everybody's writing about it.
Yeah.
So, who's going to be betting on the Patriots starting quarterback week one? You think somebody from San Francisco? You think somebody from Minnesota is dropping a crap load of money on the starting quarterback for the Patriots? No. It's somebody from New England. So, go by locally what's being talked about. Marcus Mariota was being talked about a lot. I Am Athlete, Cam Newton. All of a sudden, for 2 days, we started getting calls of, well, maybe I would take it.
Yeah.
And, of course, Jimmy Garoppolo is always in the mix. So I think the top three odds makers are just because of the local buzz for this team. That's it. Like, I don't go by any of this. I just think they're doing odds based on what they feel like the bettors, you know, are hearing, what they're starting to think about, because it's what they're listening to the local media or the reaction to Cam Newton recently. That's why I think you see it come out today with these three guys on top.
I got to give it to Mike Giardi. We know he loves Jimmy Garoppolo, but he's working hard. You see his tweet today? He's got like all these positive stats, even though there are injury problems with Garoppolo. He's breaking down all these stats with them, all positive numbers. And he's working hard. I'll give him credit with that one.
The only thing with Garoppolo is, and I think people are starting to talk about it more, who is the upgrade for San Francisco over Jimmy Garoppolo?
Well, that's the key. So,
is he attainable? Because if not, they're going to keep him.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have to.
So who is it? I mean, the speculation, what, if Matt Ryan is cut loose in Atlanta, he'd go back with Shanahan? Or he wanted Kirk Cousins all the time, so Minnesota's going to just cut bait with Kirk Cousins? Like, so, you know what I mean? So, and would Garoppolo go back in a trade to those teams?
So
I think he's got a no trade, but
yeah,
they're not going to just cut Jimmy Garoppolo and because they think they're good right now. What, go into the draft and take a kid and rely on that?
See, I think all of those things are possible, and I think people are looking at it right now and saying, well, nothing's happened yet. Well, yeah, but the real bidding hasn't opened up. The doors haven't opened up with free agency yet. And I think once that happens, I think you're going to see movement. It would not surprise me if Matt Ryan is not in Atlanta. Would it surprise you guys?
Well, after seeing Carson Wentz leave, no.
No,
nothing
would surprise me with this stuff. That's why. So here's Peter King. He came up with a three-team trade that, oh my God, it involves Jimmy Garoppolo. So here's his deal. This is just make-believe, right?
It is.
We like make-believe, so we'll throw it out.
No, that's what we do for a living.
The Vikings send quarterback Kirk Cousins to San Francisco. We know that Kyle Shanahan wanted Kirk Cousins, and he loves him, right? So it makes sense. The Niners then send Garoppolo to Houston. If, of course, he'd waive his no trade. I think you'd have to question that with Garoppolo. If there's a wink-wink.
Who wants to go to Houston?
Why? Yeah. Why do you want to go to Houston?
I know.
Right? Then the Texans send Watson to Minnesota. Now, in return, this is what the Texans get for Watson. In return, the Niners send their first-round pick in 2021. It's 12th overall. It's better than what New England has, to Houston. And they're out. So San Francisco would be trading Jimmy Garoppolo and their first-round draft pick, number 12 overall, to Houston and getting Kirk Cousins, who has 2 years left on his contract, big money, right? It's 30 and 30 or something like that. The Vikings would then add into all of that and send linebacker Anthony Barr, running back Alexander Mattison, plus their first-round picks in 2021, which is 14th overall, and 2023, and second-round picks in 2022 and 2023. In exchange, they would get Deshaun Watson.
So they're going to give up. So the Texans, and this is, it's going to take a huge amount to get Deshaun Watson. Houston's going to end up getting 3 firsts, 2 players, and 2 seconds.
And Garoppolo.
No, they're going to get Garoppolo. Houston's haul is going to be Garoppolo, 2 ones this year, a one in 2023, and 2 second-round picks.
Yeah, that's a huge haul.
Yeah, sure is.
Because you're getting them right away. You're getting 12 and 14 this year. You know what I mean? You're not getting Minnesota's pick next year with Deshaun Watson, which might not be, you know. You want San Fran's. That's the thing with Houston and why we keep talking about Miami or the Jets. Like, they can give that currency right now this year. You know, the 5 firsts in a row for the next 5 years, it's like, well, if I'm giving you Deshaun Watson within a year or two, those picks aren't that much.
Right.
So they'd be getting 12 this year, 14 this year, right away.
Yeah, and so Garoppolo. As soon as you look at it, that is and what it's, it is going to be, something like that. It's not going to be the Carson Wentz trade when he went to Indy. It's not going to be a low value like that. Deshaun Watson is going to command this unbelievable price tag because he's already on a controllable contract that isn't that expensive based on the fact of what you think Dak Prescott is going to get. So, like, if Dak Prescott is probably going to get 30-plus a year, okay, because the Cowboys waited to re-sign him. So, but then here comes the rumors with Russell Wilson. So Russell Wilson suddenly gets thrown in the mix. So people start going over this exercise the same way. So if Deshaun Watson is going to command that, what would Russell Wilson command? Less? Because he's older?
Maybe.
More? The same?
I would say similar. You brought it up. The Houston has to get draft picks right now. Because if they don't get players right now and improve themselves, over the next 2 years, they're going to be a 2-win, 3-win team. And I'm sorry, but Jack Easterby is going to be proven to be a total fraud. Nick Caserio is going to be out of there to protect their jobs. Yeah. They have to get picks now.
Yeah, but even the Russell Wilson situation. Okay, so the Seahawks gave up a bunch of their draft picks in order to get Jamal Adams. So they don't have a lot of picks. Okay, and so, but they do have one of the best quarterbacks in the league, which is obviously hard to get. This guy's number is going to be retired, okay, with the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, but who's
they're not letting him go.
Who's going to be their quarterback? They have to get a quarterback.
Well, it makes no sense for the Seattle Seahawks to give up one of the best commodities that they have. For what, draft picks? Just to take a gamble and see if they can find another quarterback?
Because
they didn't draft. They already had a quarterback. They drafted him in the second round. He ends up beating out, was it Matt Schaub? Okay, who they brought in to be the starter. And also, if you're Russell Wilson, okay, so what team are you going to? Like, are you going to go to a run-dominant team or are you going to go to a pass-happy team? Throwing Russell Wilson into the equation is just really ridiculous.
Well, I would say that it's more likely that Kirk Cousins, Deshaun Watson, and Jimmy G get traded before Russell Wilson, right? Would you agree with that? Mainly because Seattle still is a pretty good team. They need a quarterback in return.
I don't see what we heard from Russell Wilson as like, oh my God, he's got to get out.
No,
it's completely different than what we're hearing with Houston. And the organizations are completely different. Houston is a complete mess, and he has nobody. You know, Russell Wilson has some stuff to deal with. They're not a perfect team by any means, but they're a good football team. They're a playoff team year in, year out. So, you know, defensively they need to improve. I don't know. Work on the offensive line. Obviously, that needs improvement. But it's a completely different scenario, completely different situation than what Deshaun Watson is dealing with in Houston.
All right, so here's Mike Silva, the NFL Network, who claims that there is a lot of interest right now by other teams in Russell Wilson.
Probably a third of the league have reached out to inquire about Russell Wilson. And remember, Seahawks general manager John Schneider is not one of those people who ever says, "We have nothing to talk about." He listens to anything and everything. What's a realistic price if the Seahawks were to trade Russell Wilson? I think you start with something like 3 first-round draft picks. That's kind of the message that other teams believe would be conveyed.
3 first-round draft picks. Woo!
Yeah, it's less about how many draft picks. It's just how... why would the Seahawks want to get rid of him? It just makes absolutely zero sense.
I think anybody would be willing to give up. Is 3 first round draft picks really that much?
No.
For Russell Wilson?
No, if you're a team that is a quarterback away.
Not enough.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, you can look at some teams and say, okay, well, they don't have first round draft picks. I mean, Christ, look at the Patriots. Like, if they didn't have first round draft picks the last 3 years, would they be any different?
Well, that's
I know you like to get a starter, you like to get a young controlled whatever, but still, you're getting the quarterback. You know, I think when teams trade away picks, so they trade away future first, like at Kansas City, I think they regret giving up, you know, a future first and a third, whatever, for Mahomes. Like, some of these 3 first round picks for Russell Wilson?
Well, that's why I
think it might not be enough.
That's why I think the Colts might have made too hasty a decision in going and working out a deal with Philadelphia for Carson Wentz, because who knows, maybe they could be in on one of these other guys that would be a much better option, right? And they could have a possibility of getting one of these guys. They might have jumped the gun too quickly. Who knows whether Carson Wentz is good enough to lead Indianapolis to the Super Bowl. All right, I mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo, and there is some news out of San Francisco today because John Lynch is talking and he's being asked about Jimmy G. We will get to it, let you hear it coming up next, and we'll get back to the phone calls at 617-779-7937.
The show that's open weekdays 2 to 6 for Patriots fans. It's OMF on EEI.
Back here in OMF, check that that quarterback board over there. I know you still have Jameis Winston. Does it still have Jimmy G up there for me?
At the moment it does, yes.
Good. I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to stick with it despite what I'm hearing.
Really?
I'm going to stick with it. Mike Giardi, you'd be proud of me right now. I'm sticking with your guy. Still think he's going to be the starting quarterback on day one. Though, if you read what John Lynch was pretty much saying today, maybe you have questions about it. So he joined Clark Judge and Ira Kaufman on the Eye Test for 2 podcast. And this is what he said about Jimmy Garoppolo returning as the team starter.
If he's injury free, is there any doubt in your mind that Jimmy Garoppolo is your quarterback when you line up in September?
No, not at all. I mean, I really believe that I just look at the numbers. I mean, he's 24-9, 25-9 when he's played. Being available is a big part of this thing. So, like I said, we probably as a stated goal, we have to insulate ourselves better, and we got to have better options if he's not there. I've watched people go through this in the career where they struggle. It happened to me early, and then I went 8 years without missing a practice. So I believe that things can happen. I believe they will for him. And I really believe that Jimmy is our guy.
You believe
him? It almost sounds like he needs to find a backup quarterback. Did he not kind of say that?
But what do we make of, the question was if he's healthy.
He's not. He never is healthy.
If he's healthy. If he's healthy, of course. Because when he's healthy, he plays well and we win.
Well, here's the thing. So if that's the case, if it's like they really like this guy, but they know he's got some health issues. So you don't believe the reports that came out after the Super Bowl because he was healthy all that year.
That they went for Brady.
Shanahan still didn't trust him.
Went for Brady.
No. I'm talking about the year he was healthy. They went to the Super Bowl. The reports coming out was that, Shanahan still didn't trust him. Didn't trust him in that fourth quarter. And it was like, well, Jesus, I mean, he took you to the Super Bowl, but yet you still don't trust the quarter. He was healthy that year. I mean, he's a healthy quarterback. You just didn't trust him. Maybe that erroneous report. I don't know. Maybe that's just a bunch of crap. Maybe, you know, Shanahan did trust him the whole time. So they think if he's healthy, they do like him. But it'll go against that report that came out after that Super Bowl.
Yeah, but they were talking about last offseason that they actually were taking a look at Tom Brady. And obviously they shied away from it. I don't know, price,
yeah,
whatever.
Reports, once again.
Yeah, reports. We don't know. I would say this, the situation with Kirk Cousins, I think there's an infatuation that Shanahan has for some reason with Kirk Cousins. You tell me, Christian, because he's got his system up there, Shanahan, and truly believes, I think, that Kirk Cousins is the one guy that could put him over the top. And they're an interesting team in that when healthy, all of them, they are a legitimate Super Bowl contender. They were in it a year ago, right? They need an upgraded quarterback. Why should we believe what he's saying today?
Who? Well, John Lynch, I felt like he already kind of addressed this earlier in January. It wasn't as definitive as it is now, where it seems like he's like 100% on board with Jimmy G. We just got to make sure we have a good backup, because when he does get hurt, we can't lose our ability to run off
anymore.
But I would say that they had a bunch of injuries. And it wasn't just Jimmy Garoppolo.
No, both
as a
sides
team,
of the ball.
They were in and out.
Receivers,
guys were hurt.
Gone,
and
running backs.
And that was and that was bound to happen. You know, and even the coaches that are there talked about it. It's just the way the NFL is. Like, you go, if you're good 1 year and you have no injuries, it's bound to catch up with you. And it did with them. So I don't know, Glenn. You may want to pick another player.
I'm staying.
You may want to pick a different player.
I'm sticking.
Because even if they say, listen, we're not going to get rid of him unless we can find somebody better than him. Who's out there right now who isn't a trade candidate?
Who's out there right now?
Not. Don't give me Kirk Cousins. Don't give me Deshaun Watson.
Well, Kirk Cousins is the guy they want.
Nobody. Well, according to Florio and Chris Sims, Cam Newton's better than Garoppolo.
This is true.
So I guess he is available. But that's the thing about Garoppolo. It's just, Carson Wentz was traded. Stafford's traded. Maybe you think they're upgrades. I don't know if you can say that about Wentz. He's a gamble. But look out there. I mean, other than those two, like other than, say, a Matt Ryan, or Kirk Cousins, who we all think Shanahan likes, I don't see him going anywhere. I could see him being the quarterback of that team and there just being a bunch of, see, I told you we like Jimmy. There's no question we love Jimmy. I think we'll hear that in September or August when they're in camp. We had no intentions of, I don't know where those reports came. Another source, right?
Yeah, but usually guys like give themselves an out. So the question alone, or at least to John Lynch, was, okay, as long as he's healthy, yeah, we don't plan on getting rid of him. But hey, listen, if you do get rid of him, well, he wasn't healthy. We couldn't count on him, and we also couldn't find a backup. See, I think that's the game in the NFL. Like, once you find somebody who's competent enough to at least get by, you better be damn sure the guy you're replacing him with is going to be much better than the guy you already have now. Because I know now that best case scenario for Jimmy Garoppolo is that you can get to the Super Bowl with him. Now, you may not win it, but you can get there. That's sometimes that's better than, 80% of the teams in the NFL. So why would you give up on him? You've already paid him. He's already made a bunch of money.
Here's why. Because he can't take them to winning the Super Bowl.
He took them to the Super Bowl. You don't know if he can't win the Super Bowl, okay? You don't know that.
He made a mistake late in that game.
You don't, but, well, okay, so
three quarters.
And the second part of it is, contrary to what everybody thinks, they know he gets hurt all the time. It's the one real negative that you have with Jimmy Garoppolo if he comes to New England. He's not dependable.
He doesn't have a good attendance record. What they probably want to do is keep him, but renegotiate his contract. Pay him less.
Well, that might be.
Listen, man, you're not healthy enough. You're not consistent enough. He mentioned it. John Lynch mentioned availability is important.
So why would they do that and extend him if they didn't truly believe in him? Why would they would have to extend him to be able to get some cap relief right now. By the way, going back to what Lou said with Cam Newton, this is Mike Florio's tweet. You ready for this one? Question for Steelers fans, and only Steelers fans. I apologize. We're jumping in on it. Would you rather have Ben Roethlisberger in 2021 at $19 million or Cam Newton at half that amount, $9.5 million? First of all, Cam Newton at $9.5 million? What the bleep are we talking about here?
Jesus.
He threw that out there.
I'm a no. What do you got, Tyler? You kept raising your hand.
Yeah, is it odd to you guys that no one's talking about Nick Mullins, which this is an incredible stat I just found. He has the second most passing yards ever for any NFL quarterback in his first 16 starts.
He's
only Patrick Mahomes
too.
Has more.
Ooh, see, who is that?
To Nick me, Mullins is not a bad quarterback.
To me, I think those numbers are deceiving based, again, on the system that San Francisco runs.
It's
true, a little passing game.
You know what? You shouldn't say numbers are deceiving because of a system, right? Either the guy can throw and he can help you win or not. So regardless of what the system is, listen, kudos to the San Francisco 49ers for creating a system, a philosophy for that particular quarterback so he could succeed. That's kind of what your job is. So I would say when you start looking at these quarterbacks, I feel like we're all overreaching. We're all trying to tag guys that just are unrealistic, even though we have a unrealistic wish list board, okay? A realistic, unrealistic wish list board. All these guys aren't going to be it. It's the Nick Mullins of the world. It's the guys that you haven't heard about, the guys that you don't talk about. It's the guys that maybe people think it's just the system and they devalue him.
Yeah, but they'll bring those guys in for
those backup. Are the guys that they pay, and it's short money. They'll pay a guy like Nick Mullins.
Do you really believe any team's going to bring in Nick Mullins as their starting quarterback? They might bring him in with a couple of other guys in competition in camp. Or
I use this example a lot. I use it a ton, okay, because Matt Hasselbeck is from this area. Kids go to BC, lives in the area, and he was a backup to Brett Favre. But he was in the Green Bay Packers system. Mike Holmgren leaves. He goes to Seattle.
Same
and guess
system.
What he does? He signs Matt Hasselbeck.
Right.
Okay? Signs him. So I just feel like that's a way. And it wasn't big money. It wasn't like he didn't break the bank. He gave him a real good competitive offer. That's the type of deal Nick Mullins would be looking. Hey, prove me right. Prove me wrong. And then once you prove me that you're a franchise quarterback, we'll give you that $20, $30 million deal.
I can't get over this one. Would you rather have Ben Roethlisberger at $19 million or Cam Newton at half that amount? Where is he coming up with the $9.5 million? Who would pay?
That's like
$9.5 million for Cam Newton.
How would you rather die?
Quick.
I don't want Ben Roethlisberger at $19 million. I sure as hell don't want Cam Newton at $9.5 million. Like, I don't want either one of them. Why is that my only choice?
I just looked at some of the comments.
Neither.
The Steeler fans are killing him. They're just destroying him. They apparently watched Cam Newton this past year. $9.5 million. They're not going to give it to him.
Neither.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, Roethlisberger ain't $19.5 million. You know, I mean, that cap hit already is what it is, right? They already know what it is. You can only reduce it by so much. I don't think you can reduce it by that much. It's like $40 million, isn't it?
Yeah.
And his salary is only $4 million, so there's not much wiggle room.
$9.5 million. What do you think Cam's going to be out of the league entirely, Christian? He's going to get nothing, right?
I don't think he's going to be on a roster. Opening day, he will not be on a roster.
It's amazing because when you look back this year, the only commitment they had, guaranteed money, was $500,000. $500,000. And so is a team going to give Cam Newton, you may be right. The problem Cam's going to have is a team might want to bring him in, but they're probably going to embarrass him by coming back with a really low guaranteed money figure. Really low. And then does he take it?
I don't think he'll have guaranteed money. I think he'll have some sort of incentive-laden deal. I think he'll have a base salary with incentives. Playing percentages, starting opportunities, touchdowns, something like that, where your performance is going to predicate how much we pay you. Yeah, he's not going to get some big guaranteed money.
No, you're right. So some team could give him an inflated deal that could be up to $9.5 million, but the guaranteed money is $500,000. Come into our camp, work out.
They're going to want to cut him at any point in time in the season and not be hit with some sort of penalty with paying him, like some cap hit. No team is going to be saddled with a Cam Newton cap hit.
If he's in the league, it'll be his last year, and it'll be reality for all those supporters. Because it will go to him, maybe it's a better situation. And
will he be
show
a starter,
him,
though?
They'll show him who it really is.
Backup.
Yeah.
So if I think there's like a 25, 35% chance that he'll be in the league. So 75% chance that he is not in the league.
Yeah.
Not on an opening day roster. What are those odds? Can you convert that? What does that turn into?
75% that he's not.
That he's not in the league.
I don't know. I got to figure it out.
Should I ask Mutt?
Yeah, ask Mutt.
Okay. Ask Mutt. He's good at that.
See you in about a little over an hour.
Did you guys realize there was a hero amongst us on this program?
That's a lot of heroes amongst us.
Bing, bang, boom.
Did you guys realize?
Not only was there a hero, but there was another apology.
Really? Another apology?
We got a couple.
Yes.
Somebody here on the program apparently is being honored as a big-time hero. I don't know. Let's find out what they say. Maybe the Whales. I don't know. We'll find out. And then the apology of the day. It's all coming up next.
Last year, had 35 this year, and he gets a field.
Who was that? So that was part of Lou's, you know, hometown hero segment on NBC 10 Boston.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Wait, so was that Nomar Ryan? Was that Nomar ragging on our boy Lou?
I do believe that was.
Yeah, because Lou
Nomar Garcia Parra.
I did not know that you actually have a field.
Yeah.
The Merlone name. Well, really, it's like the Merlone family has a field named after him.
Actually, in Framingham, the Merlone, there are two baseball fields.
Same Merlone family?
One's my grandfather, Little League field, and I got the one at the high school.
So I saw this, Glenn, and I feel like we kind of had to pay homage to our boy here because
no question.
Because it is. I didn't realize. What a gangster he was.
What do you mean?
Like we make fun of him being part of the Oxy Posse, but the way they serve him up is like he's a townie with, like, you know, good fellas, like, you know, mobster mentality.
Joe, I forget the gentleman's name, Lou Owen, and then the other gentleman.
The other gentleman, whatever. So this is on NBC 10
yep.
here in Boston, and Lou, Framingham, Massachusetts, is their hometown hero.
My parents still live in the same house I grew up in.
For Lou Merlone, not even a career as a Major League Baseball player would take him far from that home in Framingham.
Merlone drives this one deep out to left field.
You know him as the sports analyst, talk radio host, and former Red Sox infielder who hit a three-run home run in his first at-bat at Fenway in 1998.
It seemed like half the ballpark was from Framingham. Half the ballpark are people I knew. And I always knew because they would scream Louie.
You got Louie up now.
All right, Louie's up.
Lou fondly remembers.
Wait, hold on.
Who was that, by the way?
Wait, so that. Okay, so this.
There's a lot there.
So there.
Oh, Dave Hutchinson.
You have a clip
yep.
in this video where when you're 10 years old.
Yes.
And you're playing in some stupid Framingham championship
why
you deal.
Why should it be stupid?
It's World Series.
Come on,
because
it's
in Framingham.
It's a hometown hero.
Nobody's really. It's really not a competitive environment.
It was on.
We can knock him next hour.
It was on Framingham Cablevision. 5 million viewers. The ratings were through the roof.
It was so funny. You watch the video, and so wait. There's one time where Lou. They show Lou. It's like black and it's not. Well, it's color, but it's so faded.
Louie's up.
Yeah, it's so faded that you can barely see him. But you know it's Lou. He swings, and it looks like he struck out.
Fouled
okay,
the back.
But you fouled the back, and you started walking away. I was like, oh, I know that walk. I know that bow-legged walk.
I was ripping him.
Oh, I know. My point is you just got taller, but your legs never straightened out.
Oh, my God.
Which is crazy.
The hometown hero was supposed to play homage the next hour you beat the crap out of him again.
Let it keep going. Go ahead.
Okay, let me hear more.
Lou fondly remembers growing up and playing sports in the Metro West town with a strong baseball tradition.
Every park in the town of Framingham had baseball teams, or they had counselors to have. So it was like camp day, and we could just go, and there was no charge, there was no nothing.
When he wasn't on one of the dozens of diamonds, Lou improvised.
My father put a sheet up against the wall.
Nice.
I had 50 tennis balls in a bucket, and I had a tee. And I would just hit in the basement an awful lot.
He grew up on the South Side.
Is that the tough section?
Lou grew up on the South Side.
So there's Framingham North and Framingham South, right?
Oh, that's the tough side
north,
of town.
Yeah, North Side is soft town.
I love it. It makes it seem like
South Side,
gangster.
Downtown. Yeah, well, he grew up in the hood.
Yeah, you know Lou.
Literally.
That first part makes it sound like it's like a scene from like one of your favorite movies, like Field of Dreams. It's like all it's missing is
like the Babe Ruth
music
story.
From
that's
the natural.
It sounds like.
He's like, oh, you know, every field we went to, people were playing baseball.
My dad's
baseball.
It was different back when we were kids.
It was different. Back then, we just went to the park and we didn't come home till the streetlights came on.
It was so innocent. No social media.
Yeah.
Nobody ripped anybody.
Nobody was taking pictures of themselves and sending it out. We just got a bat and a ball and we played baseball.
He grew up on the South Side.
What does that mean?
South Side of Framingham. What do you mean?
What is that?
North Side, South Side.
It's like you're some like you're. It's like that's the other side of the tracks. like the tough side of the
It would have been
tracks.
Worse if they said, grew up on the other side of the
tracks. They should have said that.
He ran with the posse to make sure he was safe at all times.
There are some towns he had a posse.
There's some towns you could say, like Lynn, that you could say things like that. Framingham,
I can't believe they didn't interview anyone from the Oxy Posse.
Framingham, my brother.
Why didn't they interview anyone from the Oxy Posse?
They should have. We should have brought up the Oxy Posse.
Snitches get stitches. No, yeah, nobody's going to turn tail on Lou. Let's keep listening.
And I would just hit in the basement an awful lot.
He grew up on the South Side.
That was kind of known as like Little Italy, I guess.
With Staples.
There was this one guy, his name was Vinny, and you had to kiss Vinny's ring.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. I was surrounded
Vinny Babu.
By everybody. The Falconis, the Ottavianis, you name it. It was all the Paisans.
I had 50 tennis balls in a bucket, and I had a tee. And I would just hit in the basement an awful lot.
He grew up on the South Side.
That was kind of known as like Little Italy, I guess.
With staples like La Cantina Restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Famous Framingham Bakery Pizza that I grew up on.
That bakery pizza. We've had that bakery pizza, right? Okay. Is that the stuff you
Christian
bring in?
Said, hey, that, I saw that documentary. It reminded me. When can we get some more of that pizza?
I was going to say, that pizza's good.
Yeah, we haven't had that in a while. And what I have found out is that when we talk about Framingham Bakery Pizza in Framingham, we usually end up getting some pizza from Framingham Bakery Pizza, which is the best pizza because we've been doing this. We get pizza every Tuesday. We're trying to start this, you know, camaraderie, you know, trying to bring everybody together. We get pizza. And there's no better pizza than Framingham Bakery Pizza.
Think that's enough? You think you did enough?
I think I did enough. I'm hoping there will be some
phone number you want to read.
Is that on the south side? Is that on the rough side of town?
Yeah, that's in Colbert.
So Framingham Bakery Pizza is on the south side of Framingham.
That Little Italy part.
Okay.
So if we go to pick up pizza, we should be strapped up. You're saying?
No, not anymore. Not anymore. It's a generational thing.
It's gentrified now.
Yeah.
Let me hear more here.
Famous Framingham Bakery Pizza that I grew up on pretty much every single Sunday morning.
And the Columbus Club, where he celebrated that big game.
Can't say that anymore.
The Columbus Club. It's not Knights of Columbus. The Columbus Club is an Italian club. They got bocce courts in the back.
Named after who?
It's outstanding.
Is that Italians only?
To be a member, yes.
Is it still open?
No, well, COVID. I think they're coming back right now to being open up. But
it's like Augusta.
Yeah, you know all about it. People grab lunch there all the time.
It's like Augusta National.
Play some
Sunday
cards.
Morning.
And the Columbus Club, where he celebrated that big game.
That place was jamming at about 11 o'clock at night when usually those old Italians usually asleep by 8 o'clock.
His accomplishments eventually earned him a unique honor. One of those fields he played on as a kid was named after him.
It was kind of a unanimous thing. There was people in the park commission. There were people in the community who, you know, were really enthusiastic and had watched Lou start from when he was a kid.
Lou's former Red Sox teammate Nomar Garciaparra jokingly stealing the spotlight that day.
It's one home run. What? I had 30 last year, I had 35 this year, and he gets a field.
You know, so
there's standing. Nomar's standing at your dead. It's like a rock almost. Dedicated to you, and he's got one foot up on it. Can you believe this crap? I hit 35 home runs. He hit one in a year. Giving him a field.
Hey, so what does it give Nomar? Like Framingham South. Take Framingham South with you, Nomar.
It's not my fault. His town doesn't love him.
Yeah, where's he from?
It's not my fault.
Yeah, ask your
Just
town.
Because your town doesn't love you.
You're not from here. Yeah, you're not from here. Sorry. What do you want us to do? Anymore.
Spotlight that day.
It's one home run. What? I had 30 last year, I had 35 this year, and he gets a field. A field for one home run.
But Lou just may have the last laugh. After 8 years in the big league and a local broadcasting career, his reputation is rock steady in Framingham, even if he was a Yankees fan as a little boy.
I smartened up.
Yeah. Really?
Wait a minute.
As a kid.
Were you really?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you're Italian. If you're Italian, you're a Yankee fan. What do you tell you?
Wait. Hold on a second. This is if you are Italian, you're a Yankees fan.
Yes.
Why?
Because generations. I don't know. Joe DiMaggio. That's it.
So Paisans. If you're German, who's your team?
I don't know. I'm not German.
if German descent, who should I follow?
It was a generational thing. It was like, you know, so my uncle was basically my grandfather. He passed away young, so my uncle was like, my great uncle was like my grandfather. He took me to Yankee Stadium in 78. I was 7 years old. Watched him play the Dodgers. And then he took me to Yankee Stadium in 81. And I watched him play the Dodgers again. So, I mean, you're 7 years old. So you're a Yankee fan. And then I would say like in middle school, I started. I just stopped. I just started rooting for players.
Garcia Parra jokingly stealing the spotlight that day. But Lou just may have the last laugh. After 8 years in the big league and a local broadcasting career, his reputation is rock steady in Framingham, even if he was a Yankees fan as a little boy.
I smartened up as I got older.
I did. Smartened up.
Now, the day that park was named, November 5th, 1998, that was also named Baseball Heritage Day in Framingham. The city has two dozen natives that became professional baseball players over the years. This spans over a long time. And one of those players, Harold Pye Traynor, is a Major League Hall of Famer. Back to you.
Wait, so you have, there's more than
just
you?
Wait a minute, hold on. Lou's not a Hall of Famer?
Oh, we got to change that name.
We're not a Hall of Famer?
We got to change that name.
Pye?
So okay, so I get it now. So it all makes sense now.
See, I thought he saved like the whales, or he saved some. You know, that's the hometown hero.
You know, you know what he's really bummed out, because that was a great. That was actually a really good piece.
Terrific.
Yeah. And the fact that they have that old footage you from when you're 10 is just amazing.
Yeah, I love that.
High fly ball deep to left field. Yeah. Way back it goes.
The fact that you had to
forget about it.
You had to.
Homer Loney is homing in his first.
Put it in the board.
Fenway Park.
Framingham zone.
You had to do that interview with your I lost a bet shaved head.
Pissed. They called.
Wait, what?
The week before the Super Bowl, I think they were like, hey, reached out to me and they want to do it. And I'm like, can we do it Friday?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we want to do it next week. I'm like, damn it. I might have to shave my head before we do this damn thing.
Wow.
I should have worn my hat.
Yeah.
Show my hat for.
All right, let's get a good job. It's excellent. Congratulations, Lou. It's terrific. You can see
my
it
hero.
Online, I think, at the NBC10 website.
Before you go to this, hold on. Yeah. Framingham Bakery Pizza. Oh, see you tomorrow.
Stop it.
Go ahead.
We interrupt Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier for this apology.
Why do we apologize to Boston sports fans or sports fans anyway? They should be apologizing to us.
Sorry to blew through it.
And I didn't even apologize to my wife.
Sorry.
Sorry. I have boobs. Sorry.
I know, Danielle. I'm sorry.
Sorry, my microphone went out there, Coach.
I apologize.
We recorded an interview. I'm sorry, I'm going to do that again.
Sorry. But that's... Take me out of that open, please.
No. You got to leave that in. That's the best one.
That's the best one.
It's not the best one. So what we got today?
The apology today is Dominique Foxworth, and he apologized for what he said about Ryan Leaf. So what did he say about Ryan Leaf? Do we have it?
We don't have the sound, but apparently this goes back to labor negotiations a while ago in a Seth Wickersham story. Apparently, so Foxworthy at the time was one of the heads in the players' union. And Jerry Jones and all these guys talking about extending to 17 games, right? And I guess it got pretty heated. We're going to play 17 games. And these two go back and forth. And Jerry Jones is basically like, I could just tell you, F you, we're going to play 17. And Foxworthy's like, I could tell F you, we're not playing. And then he says, I can tell you, F you, because we're going to use replacement players. You know, this is from guys like Jerry Richardson, I think, chimes into this. So that's when Foxworth comes back, and he says, we're being nice by not telling you, F you. Good luck filling up the stadium with Ryan Leaf at quarterback. So that was basically, it came out in this recent story by Seth Wickersham that Dominique Foxworth said, yeah, good luck. You want replacement players. What are you going to do, fill the stadium with Ryan Leafs? Good luck if you think you can.
Oh my God.
The story came out, and of course, right away, that story got a lot of attention.
Foxworth came out.
Yeah, but the story just came out. Foxworth apologized. He tweeted out, I'm sorry, Ryan Leaf. A lot more people would have shown up to see him than me. He's not sorry.
True.
He's absolutely
not true.
He's absolutely correct. You know, Ryan Leaf was a bust. Ryan Leaf knows he was a bust. And if you were going to bring in replacement players and bring a guy like Ryan Leaf in, nobody was wanting to watch him play because he was bad. He's not sorry. He's just, this is part of what we have to do now.
Yeah, but see, Ryan Leaf is in a long, and I actually really like Ryan Leaf because there's a guy that just kind of knows his lot in life.
Yeah.
And he knows that he's ultimately the butt of a lot of jokes, especially during draft time. Like right now, usually people are bringing up Ryan Leaf's name or Jamarcus Russell. So those are the two names that you're always going to use. So I don't think he needed to apologize because everybody goes to Ryan Leaf.
No, Ryan Leaf, probably, like, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I wouldn't want to see
him. I always reacted. You are 100% right. No one's going to come and watch me play, Dominic. You don't need to apologize.
So nobody's getting canceled here because I think most people are looking at this and saying, this is a joke. This is ridiculous. You made a joke out of it. That's what you were basically doing. You were trying to exaggerate your point, and you said, yeah, you're going to play with Ryan Leafs. Okay.
See, this is another example where he did not have to apologize. He did not have to
ask
for forgiveness for using Ryan Leaf's name. So, and he probably thinks, listen, Ryan Leaf has changed his life around. Ryan Leaf is actually becoming more of an asset to society. Okay. And so he probably says, you know what? Cheap move on my part. Like the disclaimer that Disney uses now for the Muppets. Hey, we knew it was bad then and it's bad now. So we just want to apologize ahead of time.
This is awful. We're about the show. Enjoy the show. But Ryan Leaf, as we mentioned, kind of the guy that he is, he did respond. And he retweeted this Dominique Foxworth apology and said, no need to apologize. You were fighting for everyone who came before us and everyone who come after. I had your back then. I have your back now. Always and forever. Hashtag NFL brotherhood.
Wow. Oh, my God. That's higher road than Cam Newton.
Jeez.
Wow.
But that's Ryan Leaf. Like, that's what I mean. Foxworth's like, oh, he just feels bad that it actually got out. He doesn't need to apologize.
No.
He was right then. He just feels like,
you know,
uncomfortable.
You really got to have a backbone to you to just own stuff like that. Because it's like all this stuff.
How else
do
you deal with it? You just fight it the rest of your life? I think that's what I mean. I think the guy realized, and it was probably some of his demons why he got into some trouble, but he's realized through his rehab that it is what it is. Like, rather than fight it, accept it. And I think it's easier for him.
You're talking about Ryan Leaf.
Ryan Leaf.
Yeah, but the apology, when it talks about the apology, if you're just an a-hole, then you're like, whatever. I don't care. So what? So what if I hurt the guy's feeling? But most guys, I would say, would probably feel kind of embarrassed, right? Because it's like this whole brotherhood in the NFL sort of thing, and one guy ripping on another guy. Here's an analyst using Ryan Leaf, but everybody got the point. Everyone's like, oh yeah, okay, exactly. You're a bunch of scabs, a bunch of guys that are gonna, we're gonna strike, and you're gonna bring Ryan Leaf in.
Good luck.
Okay, good luck.
Right.
So in this one, we have no canceling. It's not like, what's that guy's name, Chris Harrison, the Bachelor host or whatever?
Yeah, he's still in trouble, though.
Yeah, he's done. No, he's done.
I don't know if he's done.
Oh, he's done.
But, man, he sure is flirting with it.
Yeah.
Because now they're doing all this stuff now with After the Rose, where he usually hosts it, and now they're not letting him host it.
He's done.
Because everything else is pre-taped.
So Rachel, The Bachelor, they're already writing about it, that The Bachelor has already dumped that woman.
She may win.
She's a final three.
She's in the final three.
Yeah, no, there's rumors out there that she wins the thing and that the guy now has dumped her after all of this new stuff has come out. I just read it today.
She went on the show because she wanted to find love. The Bachelor is actually a black guy.
Yep.
Yes.
So because of this photo she took, she's racist.
Yes.
But she's fell in love with this black guy.
And all his opinions have changed.
Apparently she has won this thing. It's already been done. She has won this thing. But this other guy, who happens to be black, has already dumped her. Based on now finding out that she went to
that love was
sorority
deep.
Party. Yeah. It's good.
Oh, yeah. They always
it's
are.
It's your
though.
Show. That's your show yeah, there, Gloria.
I know we're up against a break, but extras and a former bachelorette, Rachel Lindsay, who is in this whole controversy, she says she wants FS1's Emmanuel Acho to replace Chris Harrison. Emmanuel Acho?
Jeez. Stop it already.
Why
are we even listening to her? She was a contestant on a Love Game. Like, what are we doing? Like, who is listening to her? So when is she the voice of the... Forget it. If this guy gets fired, I am boycotting The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. How about that?
There you go.
Emmanuel Acho, huh?
Yeah.
Not why can't watch everybody anymore? Just take the high road like Ryan Leaf? Why do we have to just get into the gutter? We got another hour to go for Green Teamers. We get into it. Are you finally pissed about your team, about Danny, about Brad, about the players? They are below 500 for the first time since 2015. C's on the table for the final hour.